We traditionally associate Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on the 6th or 7th of Nisan, and he receives the Torah. He receives the Torah. The question is, what exactly did he receive? Because as many of us are very aware, there are many things that take place in the Torah afterwards that if Moshe Rabbeinu had received that already, so it would have been very beneficial and advantageous to have already known like all the questions that he didn't know the answers to, the Mekoshesh, and he just had to open up the Torah and look, it was written there. He got his answer already. So the text of the Torah was seemingly not given at Har Sinai. And there's a discussion in the Gemara in Gittin, actually, about when the text of the Torah was given. The question is, what exactly was given at Har Sinai? So the Medrash tells us, Darash Rabbi Simloi, Taryag Mitzvos Nemru Lo Lamosha B'Sinai, Shasa Kenegid Yimos Hachama, V'Ramach Keneged the Evarim Shel Adam. So the Medrash tells us that 365 mitzvos were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't given the Torah yet. The Torah had lots of narratives about them traveling in the desert. None of that stuff happened yet. The whole showdown with Korach, that wasn't given to Moshe Rabbeinu yet, or else there wouldn't have been a showdown. He would have already known what was going to happen. Rather, what was given in Har Sinai was the Taryag Mitzvos. Now, even the suggestion that the Taryag Mitzvos is hard to accept. Certainly when you read through Parshas Yisro and Mishpatim and these parshas that have to do with Matan Torah, so what seems to be given is, first of all, the Ten Commandments. That seems to have been given. The very end of Parshas Yisro, we have a few commandments about not doing idolatry and about building a Mizbeach. Then the Torah goes right into Parshas Mishpatim, and Rashi even comments on the Ve'ela Mishpatim, that the Vav is connecting to the Aseres HaDibros. It's just like the Aseres HaDibros were given in Har Sinai. So were the laws of Mishpatim. So maybe we have the Aseres HaDibros and the few laws at the end of Sefer Yisro, and maybe we can also stick in all of Parshas Mishpatim. I guess that's a nice amount of laws. And the one other place in the Torah that seems to indicate that the mitzvos were given in Har Sinai is the beginning of Parshas Bahar. Sefer Parshas Bahar begins that the following mitzvahs were given Bihar Sinai. That's why the parsha is called Bahar. These mitzvahs were given Bihar Sinai, and Shemitah, and Yovel. So, what was given in Har Sinai? Not the Torah, the mitzvos. That's what Chazal say. But even the mitzvos, at least from the straight narrative of the Torah, it doesn't sound like all of the mitzvos were given. It sounds like a nice chunk were given, but certainly not all of the mitzvos. Nonetheless, the approach of Chazal is that all of the mitzvos are given in Har Sinai. And this is the famous Sifra quoted by Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Bahar, when Rashi asks, it's really the Medrash asking, Ma inyan Shmita etzel Har Sinai? What is the connection between Har Sinai and Shmita? Why are we told that the laws of Shmita and Yovel were given in Har Sinai? What's so unique about the laws of Shmita and Yovel that dafka they were given in Har Sinai? So Chazal say, you're right, there really is no connection between the two. And Shemitah and Yovel become the paradigm for all the mitzvos. Just like, I can read to you the exact expression, we're told, Ma Shemitah Nemru Klolo Seha V'Diktu Kao Misinai. Just like Sinai, just like Shemitah, the general rules, the Diktukim, all the fine points were given at Sinai, Af Kulam Nemru Klolo Seyem, so this is what the Sifra tells us, that the Torah highlights Shemitah, not because there's something unique about Shemitah. Ma inyan Shemitah etzel Har Sinai. Why does Shemitah need to be given in Har Sinai? I mean, Shemitah is not going to be kept until many years later when they go into Eretz Yisrael. What's the connection between Shemitah and Har Sinai? The answer is there is no connection. All of the mitzvos, just like Shemitah, were given in Har Sinai. This is the perspective of Chazal. Now, this is still problematic in light of reading the Torah. Why is it still problematic in light of reading the Torah? Because it's going to require a lot of fancy footwork and a lot of reinterpretation of psukim in the Torah. So for instance, just to begin with one pasuk, and I apologize, I don't have a makoro sheet because the printer doesn't seem to be working right now. So the pasuk tells us in the very beginning of Vayikra. Listen carefully what the pasuk says. Vayikra Moshe veidaber Hashem elov me oel moed lemor. Hashem called out to Moshe from the oel moed. Now where's the oel moed? The oel moed is the Mishkan. The oel moed is what was built at the base of Har Sinai, right? Just to go through the history very quickly. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai. He's up there probably for 120 days with some descents. Then he goes up for 40 days. He comes down. He sees the Egel. So he goes back up for 40 days to Davin for Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts. He goes back down. And then he goes back up again a third time to get the Lucho Shnios. By the time this whole process is over, right, Mount Har Sinai was back in Sivan, right? Sivan is right after Pesach, Shavuos time. So it's the beginning of the summer, let's call it. Right before the summer. What's the season right before the summer? The spring. So it's in the spring. And when does he get the second Luchos?
El.
Yom Kippur, right. Tishrei. El Tishrei. After the summer, I guess we would call that the autumn or the fall. So it starts in spring, it ends in fall, you know, November time, October time, whatever. And then they build the Mishkan. The Mishkan is built, they camp at the base of Har Sinai from Yom Kippur, or they've already been there for a while, actually. They've been there since Sivan, a little bit before Sivan, they get to Har Sinai. They camp there, and then they start building the Mishkan. The Mishkan is done and inaugurated on the 1st of Nisan, which is back in the next spring now. Not back, it's the next spring. So they've almost been at Har Sinai for a year. Right? Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. So they're a month and a half, 2 months short of a year. So they've been there for around 10 months. So that's where Sefer Vayikra begins. Hashem is calling out from the Oel Moed that was set up at the base of Har Sinai. And what does he tell them? Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta lehem Adam ki yakov mikem karban l'Hashem. And all of the beginning of Sefer Vayikra starts telling us all of the halachos of the karbanos. Now that certainly implies that they hadn't gotten these halachos yet, these mitzvos yet. The mitzvos are written in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, and we're being called, Hashem's calling out to Moshe Rabbeinu from the Ol Moed. This is months after Har Sinai. So we have issues like that. We have a bunch of mitzvos that are, maybe I'll read you one more pasuk. This is from the end of Sefer Bamidbar. After a whole group of mitzvos, we're told, Eile ha-mitzvos v'ha-mishpatim, these are the laws, asher tziva Hashem b'yad Moshe el b'nei Yisrael, be'arvos Moav al Yarden Yerecho. What's Arvos Moav al Yarden Yerecho? This is Arvos Moav next to the entrance of going into Eretz Yisrael, next to the Jordan River. These are the mitzvos that Hashem commanded to Klal Yisrael b'yad Moshe at Arvos Moav. Sounds like the mitzvos are commanded. This is at the end of the 40 years of traveling in the desert. This is way later. So how are we supposed to, if Chazal are correct that all the mitzvos are given in Har Sinai, what are we supposed to do with these psukim? In addition to that, there are many mitzvos that are given in a very specific historical context. So for instance, after their war with Midian, this is while they're in the Midbar, after their war with Midian, they come back and they have all these spoils from Midian. So Hashem gives them the halachos through Moshe for a kasher kelim. Now, if they already got them at Har Sinai, they don't need to be told them now. They already had the halachos of kasher again. And all the halachos are given. You know, if it's made out of this material or that material, so tavir be'esh, all these halachos are seemingly given for the first time then, after the battle with Midian. Or, for instance, after Ammon and Moab refuse entry into their land, they don't let us pass through their land, we just want to pass through. So Hashem says, you know what? You're not allowed to accept any converts. New halacha, new din. You're not allowed to accept any converts from Ammon and Moab. Understand? Did we get that in Har Sinai already? Now the Torah says, you know why you can't? You can't accept them because they didn't offer you food and drink and allow you to pass through their land. I don't understand. If this was halacha was given on Har Sinai, we hadn't tried already to pass through their land where they refused our requests, and therefore we can't have them convert. So what's the Torah talking about that if it was already given at Har Sinai?
Rabbi, a better shaila would be that the fact that the Karban Pesach and all the Hilchos.
Okay, good. Let's get there in a second. We'll get there in a minute. Sefer Devarim is filled with mitzvos that we've never heard of before. Geirishin, Shluch HaKein, And Sefer Devarim begins by saying, this is Moshe Rabbeinu's speech to Klal Yisrael at Arvos Moav at the end of 40 years. So all these new mitzvos, when were they given? Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be presenting them. Pesach Sheni I would really ask for. Because Pesach, they are given actually before. Karban Pesach, there's already talk about bringing the Karban Pesach before, right when they leave Mitzrayim. But Pesach Sheni, we all know the famous story. They're in the desert already, a year after Yitzias Mitzrayim. So this is also way after Matan Torah. And there were some people who were Tameh. So they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, you know, why is it fair? We're going to miss out on Pesach, Karban Pesach. Can we have a makeup? Pesach Sheni? Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what? Let me ask Hashem. I'm not sure. Let me ask Hashem. And Hashem says, yeah, give it to them. Give them Pesach Sheni. And then we get all the halachos of Pesach Sheni. And the Rambam counts Pesach Sheni as a separate mitzvah in the Torah. Not as part of the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. There's a mitzvah called Karban Pesach. There's a whole other mitzvah called Pesach Sheni. How could Chazal tell me that all of the mitzvahs were given in Har Sinai? If Pesach Sheni, they come, they have a specific request based on what's going on at the time. Moshe Rabbeinu says, wow, that's a great question. I have no idea. Let me ask God. And he comes back, he says, you know what, God ratified your request. We can create a new mitzvah called Pesach Sheni. I understand, was it given in Har Sinai or was it not given in Har Sinai? Last, we'll just mention, we already alluded to it, there were three times that we find in Sefer Vayikra and Sefer Bamidbar where Moshe Rabbeinu was not sure about certain halachos regarding a mitzvah. So we have the Mekoshesh. Moshe Rabbeinu knows he was Mechal Shabbos, he doesn't know how to punish him. We have the Mekalel, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know how to punish him. And we have the Benos Tzlovchad. Moshe Rabbeinu is not sure what the halacha is in terms of inheritance. Now, if Chazal are correct that all of the mitzvos and Dikdu Kehem and all of their fine points were given in Har Sinai, so what's Moshe Rabbeinu? Why does he not know? Why does he have to go to Hashem in the middle of the desert and ask him for halacha? Didn't he get all this stuff in Har Sinai? So that's the million-dollar question that really needs to be addressed if you're going to read the Medrash Kipshuto. Where, again, where Chazal say, Tayag mitzvos for Nemer L'moshe B'Sinai. So, first of all, we have to note that even within the text of the Torah, there are some counter implications to be made as well. Let's take, for instance, the first example that we brought. That was the example of the Karbanos. So, as I read to you, the Pasuk says in the very beginning of Vayikra, Vayikra Hashem, Vayikra Moshe, Vayidaber Elov, Hashem Elov Bo'am Oed Le'mor, Daber O B'nei Yisrael V'yamar Talayhem, Odom Ki Yakrim Mikem Karban L'Hashem. So it's Me'o'am Oed. However, if you go to the end of the section of the Karbanos, which is around seven Parakim later, after we get all the Halachos, the Pasuk says, Zos HaTorah, La'ola, La'mincha, La'chatas, La'osham, Limluim, U'lizevach Hashlamim, Asher tziva Hashem es Moshe behar Sinai. B'yom tzavosos b'nei Yisrael l'hakriv es karbonayim. So we have a counter diuk. I mean, it's not really even a diuk. It's pretty explicit. V'yikra Zion says, okay, shoo, exhale. We finished all the halachos of Har Sinai, of karbonos, that Moshe gave Klal Yisrael on Har Sinai. What do you mean he gave us on Har Sinai? I thought you said it was from the Olmoed, the Torah said. So, the traditional view in Chazal is, despite all of these kashas that we mentioned, really Moshe Rabbeinu received all of the mitzvos, not the text of the Torah, but all of the mitzvos on Har Sinai with all of their details. And this is, Rabbi Akiva says this explicitly in Chagiga and Davov, where the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Klolos upratos nemru misinai. All of the general rules and all of the details were set at Sinai. Vinishnu be'ol moed, v'nishtal shalu be'arvos moav. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that all of the mitzvahs are given in Har Sinai, but then when we're in the desert with the ol moed, Hashem retaught all of the mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael, and then a third time when we were standing at Arvos Moav and we were camped out at Arvos Moav for a while, again, Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave through Moshe all of the mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael a third time. A review. Two built-in chazaros. There was the original giving of the mitzvos, and then these built-in chazaros of the Torah. Now, the theory therefore would go, according to the traditional view of Chazal, that all the mitzvos were given in Har Sinai, in Achanami. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah, that he then dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life, so debate in Gittin and Daf Samach, was it given in piecemeal, Like, as things went on, it was given, the text of the Torah was given to Moshe, and he kept writing it down until he had a full Sefer Torah? Or was there, like, a chunk given at one point, and then the rest given at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life? But the text of the Torah definitely wasn't done until the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. So perhaps, for literary purposes, Kadosh Baruch Hu decided that the mitzvos were going to be presented over the entire history of the 40 years in the desert, mentioned for the first time in the text at specific events, but really all the halachos were given. So for instance, let's talk about Sefer Devarim. So in Sefer Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu mentions mitzvos that are mentioned for the first time, it's not that they weren't given at Har Sinai, that's a Gerushin. Gerushin was not was mentioned at Har Sinai. It doesn't appear in the Torah until Sefer Devarim, because for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that it would be mentioned for the first time in Sefer Devarim. So even though at that time at Arvos Moab, it was actually the second repeat of Gerushin, when it was recorded based on the third teaching of it, as opposed to the first teaching. Meaning the Torah is not a verbatim record of how all the mitzvos were originally given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah is a mixture of the first, second, and third time that mitzvos were given, and the mitzvos are recorded sometimes, let's say, with historical connections. So for instance, the din of Kasher and Kalim, or the din of Moavi and Ammoni, were certainly given at Har Sinai, Chazal would say. But the significance of it, perhaps it was given prophetically based on what was going to happen in the future, but the significance of it only really took in effect once Ammon and Moab didn't allow us to pass into their land. So how is the Torah going to introduce us, maybe for pedagogic purposes, to the mitzvah? It's going to introduce it to us connected to the story of Ammon and Moab. But that doesn't change the fact that all the mitzvahs were given. So again, in a nutshell, what is the Shita of Chazal? The Shita of Chazal is that all the mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai, but they were repeated a second and third time at the Ol Moed and then at Arvos Moav. And when the Torah records the mitzvos, it records it sometimes based on the first giving, sometimes based on the second giving, and sometimes based on the third giving. Now what about something like Pesach Sheni? Right? We mentioned Pesach Sheni. What are we going to do about that? That sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu had no idea. So for Pesach Sheni and the Mekoshesh, the Mekalel, and all of these examples, we're going to need to give very specific explanations why they appear the way they do. So for instance, Pesach Sheni, I could share with you one of the Mefarshim on the Rambam, the Marganisa Tova. It's the good pearl. It's the name of the parish. So it's written on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. So he writes that a very fascinating thing. Pesach Sheni was definitely given in Har Sinai as well. What was the issue? Pesach Sheni, just like Korban Pesach, was only supposed to take effect once Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael. Many people don't realize that. Korban Pesach we did in Mitzrayim, and then Korban Pesach was not supposed to be done again until we got into Eretz Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an exception for the first anniversary of Pesach and said, you know what, you should do the mitzvah of Korban Pesach once in the desert. Do it once in the desert. You already did it in Mitzrayim. You're going to do it once you get into Eretz Yisrael. And the Pesukim even say, Ki Salvo El Aretz, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you'll bring the Korban Pesach. But we should do it once in the Midbar. So now, the people who are Tameh come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, we're Tameh, can we get in on this one-time event? So Moshe Rabbeinu was unsure, was Pesach Sheni also given? Meaning Pesach Sheni, like Korban Pesach, was only supposed to be once they got into Eretz Yisrael. But was there an opportunity also for a one-time event of Pesach Sheni? So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu had to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't asking him, can they bring Pesach Sheni? Of course he knows there's something called Pesach Sheni. That was given at Har Sinai. But it was officially given to be done in Eretz Yisrael. When Hashem made the exception for the Korban Pesach to be brought one time, were they also able to do Pesach Sheni? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu had to clarify with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is one way to explain, to maintain Chazal's position, that all the mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai, and yet to account for all the seeming places in the Torah where it seems like things are given later. The second way to account for it, and that's Rabbi Akiva's approach, the second way to account for it is that perhaps to suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu was given all the mitzvahs at Har Sinai, but he wasn't immediately commanded to pass them on to Klal Yisrael. Meaning there's two stages here of the transmission of mitzvos. There's the transmission from Hashem to Moshe, and then there's Moshe to the Tzibur. So it could be that in Hanami, Moshe, as the representative of Klal Yisrael, received all of the mitzvos at Har Sinai, but he was only commanded to then continue and pass them on to Klal Yisrael at later stages in the Midbar. So for instance, the Din of Karbanos maybe was originally given to Moshe at Har Sinai, but it was only passed on to Klal Yisrael once there was a Mishkan and the Karbanos were Shayach to be brought. There are those who want to suggest that this explains a lot of the other things that we brought up, like Amon and Moav, or Kasher and Kalim. Moshe Rabbeinu got Kasher and Kalim at Har Sinai, but Hashem said to him, listen, don't give it to Klal Yisrael yet until they need it. When do they need it for the first time? After the battle with Midian. So after the battle with Midian, Moshe Rabbeinu came and said, it's not that because Moshe Rabbeinu first got the mitzvah after the battle with Midian, he had gotten the mitzvah already at Har Sinai, but he only passed it on to Klal Yisrael when it was necessary. One of the Mefarshim, the Mizrahi, Rav Elio Mizrahi on Rashi, so he says this explicitly regarding a lot of the mitzvos that were given by Yom HaShmini. We know that at Yom HaShmini, the first day, the inauguration of the Mishkan, so there was the whole unfortunate event with Nadav Aviyu, and the Gemara in Gittin tells us that right on that day, there were many halachos given to Klal Yisrael. For instance, the mitzvah that a Shtuya Yayin is not allowed to go into the Mishkan. And it lists eight different mitzvos or parshios in the Torah that were in the Schadesh on the first of Nisan when the Mishkan was inaugurated. Says the Mizrahi, well, this Gemara seems to be mefurish, that these eight mitzvos were only given now, way after Matan Torah. He says, no, Elama, they were given at Har Sinai, but they weren't passed on to Klal Yisrael yet. Now that someone had been, Nadav and Aviyu had died, so therefore, so the Parsha of Shtuya Yayim and other Parshios were given to Klal Yisrael from Moshe. Okay, so this is what I would term until now the traditional view of Chazal to how to see Matan Torah. Not the text, but all of the mitzvos. Oh, what about all the things that seem to have been given later? So either they were given originally, but in the Torah, for literary reasons, they were recorded later, or they were all given to Moshe originally, but they weren't passed on to Klal Yisrael yet. Okay. However, the Ramban has a theory that perhaps not all the mitzvos are really given on Har Sinai. Agav, the Gemara in Makos, when it quotes that same statement of Rav Simloi that we quoted in the very beginning of Shir, we quoted Rav Simloi's statement. He said, Dorash Rav Simloi, Taryag mitzvos nemru lo l'moshe b'sinai. If you take a look at the end of Makos, where the same drush is quoted, it leaves out one very important word, b'sinai. It just says, Taryag mitzvos nemru lo l'moshe. And the Ramban has a theory that perhaps many of the mitzvos were only given later on at the Olam Moed. They were given when Klal Yisrael was camped for quite a significant amount of time at the base of Har Sinai afterwards. The mitzvos continued to be given to Klal Yisrael via the Olam Moed. And the Ramban suggests that perhaps when we say mitzvos were given on Har Sinai doesn't necessarily have to mean when Moshe Rabbeinu was there on the mountain. It means from the mountain, or from the Shekhinah that was originally on the mountain that was now residing in the Mishkan. And he brings a raya, because by the Karban Tamid, we just read it on Rosh Chodesh, the Pasuk says, Ha'asuya, what's the end of that Pasuk? Bahar Sinai. Ha'asuya Bahar Sinai. But the Karban Pesach wasn't brought on Har Sinai. They brought the Karban Pesach on Har Sinai. It was brought after they set up the camp at the base of Har Sinai. So why does it say Bahar Sinai? Ramban says, because Bahar Sinai doesn't have to mean on the mountain. It means in the proximity of the mountain. And the Ramban's theory is, and he says this in his introduction to Sefer Devarim, a very, very famous introduction. I'm not going to read it all to you right now, but he says as follows. HaSefer HaZeh, he's talking about Sefer Devarim, which again, was Moshe Rabbeinu's speech to Klal Yisrael when they were standing in Arvos Moav, about to go into Eretz Yisrael. HaSefer HaZeh Inyono Yadua. Everybody knows what the Sefer is. It's Mishnah Torah. Yivor bo Moshe Rabbeinu l'duar nichnas pe'aretz rov mitzvos ha-Torah tzrichos l'Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu explains many of the mitzvos to Klal Yisrael that they're going to need as they go into Eretz Yisrael. V'od Yosef b'sefer hazeh kama mitzvos shlo nizkru klal. It also adds many mitzvos that have not been mentioned yet. Like for instance, Yibum, or the Din of Motzi Shemra, or Gerishin, or Edim Zomimim. And now he says, however, Ukfar nemru lo kulam. They've already, though, all been taught. B'sinai. O. B'o'al moed. B'shana rishona kodem amaraglim. Ki ba'arvos moav lo nischadshu el divrei habris. Because no new mitzvos were given in Arvos Moav. Ramban says very clearly that all the mitzvos had already been given. But when had they already been given? Either at Sinai or via the Ol Moed when they were camped outside of Har Sinai. So this view of the Ramban is what I would call the more expansive view of Matan Torah. Matan Torah was not just the event of Moshe Rabbeinu being on Har Sinai and receiving all of the mitzvos, but rather the process of Matan Torah extended beyond Matan Torah, even to when the nation was camped around the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu continued to get new mitzvos while they were camped in the desert. And I think that this is a very, very significant, right? It might sound, okay, that's very nice, but a little technical machlokas, okay, whether it was on the mountain or was it even after they had left the mountain. But I think there's a very fundamental concept that sheds tremendous light on what the Mishkan was all about. The Ramban in the very beginning of this week's Parsha, Parsha's Truma, it's a famous Ramban, where he talks about the sod of the Mishkan. What's the secret of the Mishkan? What's the essence of the Mishkan? And I'll read to you just a few lines. He says, Soda Mishkan hu, that the kavod asher shochen al har Sinai should be shochen alav on the Mishkan benister. And he says that the Mishkan was a receptacle for the kavod of Hashem that had manifested itself on Har Sinai during Matan Torah. What the Ramban seems to be saying is that building of the Mishkan was a perpetualization of the divine revelation of Har Sinai. Har Sinai, we know, was the greatest revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he completely revealed himself to his nation. And that manifestation of Shechina in the world that graced Har Sinai didn't disappear after Har Sinai, but it went from Har Sinai and it also manifested itself in the Mishkan, in the Ohel Moed. The Ramban basically is telling us that the Mishkan gives us the opportunity to take the Har Sinai experience with us. That just like Hashem showed us on Har Sinai, that He is our God, and that He's present, and that He's in the world. So the kolos and the brachim, so the Mishkan allows that experience to continue. And that while Klal Yisrael traveled with the Mishkan, and eventually when they built the Beis HaMikdash, the yesod of the Mishkan and the Mikdash was that the glory that graced Har Sinai would continue to grace Klal Yisrael. In fact, the word Mishkan comes from the word shachem, to dwell. The purpose of the Mishkan is to be a dwelling place for the Kedusha and the Shechina. But not just the Shechina. The Shechina that manifested itself and revealed itself on Har Sinai would now manifest itself in the Mishkan. However, we realize now that it's actually much deeper than that. Meaning, it's not just that the glory of God continued to manifest itself, just like it had manifested itself on Har Sinai, but the actual experience of Har Sinai continued through the Mishkan. The giving of the mitzvos didn't end with Har Sinai. Meaning there's two dinim in Har Sinai. Right? If we wanted to try to say a vort in Har Sinai. There are two dinim in Har Sinai. Din one is that it was a makom of giloi shechina. Amazing experience. And traditionally everyone assumes that the Ramban is saying that that continued. But there's another din to Har Sinai. Har Sinai was the arena where Hashem revealed the mitzvos to us. And the Ramban l'shitaso, the Ramban holds that that process of revealing the mitzvos also continued in the Mishkan afterwards. So just like the Mishkan in the desert served as the place for the continued revelation of the Shechina, it also was the place for the continued, dare I say the word, the continued development of Torah and mitzvah, of Torah. That more mitzvos that had not been revealed on Har Sinai continued to be revealed through the Mishkan. And I think just for us, there's also a very meaningful message, and that is based on the Nefesh HaChaim, in the very beginning of the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. The Nefesh HaChaim quotes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says, V'chein tasu, regarding building the Mishkan, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, L'doros. that there's a mitzvah to not only build the Mishkan in those times, but also to continue to build the Mishkan Lidoros, going forward.
That I just give you the opportunity to wish me well.
Hatzlacha Rabba. Godspeed.
Thank you.
Thank you. So the Gemara says V'chein Tasu Lidoros, that we have a continued mitzvah to continue to build the Mishkan. Now, what does that mean, that we have a continued mitzvah to build the Mishkan? What, in what way can we continue this process of the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even Lidoros, even nowadays? So the Nefesh Chaim there says, and I know it sounds like a nice, cute little idea, but the Nefesh Chaim says not only that it's a cute idea, but he thinks it's actually the essence of the Mishkan, that a person is able to build himself into a Mishkan. And he even says it to the degree that the Mishkan was given to us as an example for what we can become. The Mishkan was a physical being, sticks and stones, that were able to be illuminated with Shekhinah and with Kedusha. And we are supposed to learn from there that if a bunch of sticks and stones are able to be illuminated with Kedusha, so then we can also be a house, a home, a receptacle for Kedusha. He goes as far to even suggest that the purpose of the Mishkan was to teach us what we could become. Just like the Shekhinah can be Shachain on the Mikdash, it can also be Shachain in a person. And this is the very famous diuk from this week's Parsha, when we're told, V'asuli Mikdash, V'shachanti B'socham. Now, Alpi grammar, it should say, V'asuli Mikdash, V'shachanti B'socha, or B'socho, in it. And it says, B'socham, in them. Build a Mishkan so that my Shekhinah could be shorei in them. Meaning, exactly like the Nefesh HaChaim is suggesting, that the building of the Mishkan is there to be a paradigm for us so that we can become receptacles for the Shekhinah. B'shachanti b'socham. This is the famous line that we say, Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, that I will build a Mishkan Bilvavi inside of me. And seemingly this manifests itself as well in the two ways that we spoke about in Shir. First of all, that every person needs to become a Mishkan in the sense that I'm an ambassador for the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That a person can see a Ben Torah, a person can see a practicing, observant Jew, and see godliness. See that there's this Chelek Elokam Imal, that you could see there's something unique about this person. He's like it says about Shaul, that he's head and shoulders above everyone else, that he's unique, that he's special, that he's living an elevated existence. So in that sense, we could be a Mishkan. We can be the home and the receptacle for Kedusha, ambassadors of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we're also, in the other sense of the Mishkan, we're the vehicle and the channel for the mitzvos and Torah to be brought to the world. Just like the Mishkan continued the role of Har Sinai as being the corridor or the channel through which the mitzvos and Torah came to the world, so too we, through our teaching and through the way that we behave, we can not only be a sign that there's Kedusha in the world, but we can also be those that bring the Word of God to the world. Torah and mitzvos, that we can be the ones who teach that to the world. So Hashem should help all of us, that as we learn about building the Mishkan, so we should also use it as a paradigm for building ourselves. And we've mentioned this very many times already. I mentioned it just the other day, but I think I mentioned it earlier in the year as well, that Kedoshim Tiyu is a mitzvah that's given to everyone. Every person has the ability to be a Mishkan. Every person has an ability that we can look at the person and say, this is a person who is brimming with Kedusha, with Tahara. So Hashem should hopefully give us all the ability, the strength, and the fortitude to be able to do such a thing, and to really be mekayim the pasuk in this week's parsha of V'yasuli Mikdash B'shachanti B'socham.